Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 21 through 38. John 13, verses 21 through 38 of God's Word. And starting in verse 21, these are God's words. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking." He leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we have need for the feast," or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." And those are God's words. Jesus, in our passage through verse 30, foretells who will betray him before the crucifixion very soon in time. In this passage, he showed that very night, obviously. Verse 26, he showed that it would be Judas Iscariot. And immediately we see that Satan then entered into Judas. And here you see, beloved, that our Lord, who is sovereign over all, is in control over Satan. That Satan cannot do anything without the permission of the Lord, and here ordained Satan, of course, to go into Judas, because it was necessary to happen so that Jesus would be able to save his people from their sins. And Judas left immediately, as Christ said, that in celebration he left of the Passover and the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And Jesus then instructed his disciples in the great truths concerning his death on the cross to be glorified, followed by the instruction to love one another. That fruit of faith and loving one another will be used to show that they are truly Christ's disciples, and it is that fruit that shows our status as Christians as well as his disciples. And then the passage concludes with Christ foretelling Peter's three denials of Christ as he suffered on his way to the cross. And Peter suggesting, verse 37, that he would lay down his life for Christ. Is flawed in thinking that he could save himself. But what he needed, of course, was Christ to save him from his own sins. Here we're called to believe the truths of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ and to love our neighbors. And without Christ, we know, later we'll hear, even this evening, without Christ we can do none of these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you as we think of how Satan and his relationship is with, and what that relationship is with the Lord, who is our God and King. We see it in the case of Job, in chapter 1 of Job, that Satan could do nothing except by the word of God. And here we see the same thing, that nothing could happen to Judas by Satan except by the word of God. And Father, we thank you for this, knowing that for your people who truly love you, Satan can never do what is seen here to Judas. Satan can never enter us. He has no power over us in that. He can only tempt us to sin. And Father, we're thankful for what we heard this morning, that in union with Christ, we don't have to obey Satan. We don't have to listen to his temptations. We don't have to follow after him. We may and can and do rebel against Satan. And we are able to not sin. We are able to practice righteousness and obedience in accordance with your word. And this we know and praise you because you brought it about in our lives by your grace through Christ. And our union with him. And Father, we're thankful for Peter's question, his zeal. And yet here we see it as a flawed conviction and a flawed zeal that he could save himself. Or he could save Christ. And sometimes there are men and women and children in the church who think they can save themselves. But Father, we know that we can only be saved by Christ alone. And so we are thankful for the rebuke of Peter here, for it is a rebuke to us. For just as Peter would, as we'll see in coming chapters, deny Christ 3 times, so we would have done the same in his place. We would have denied him, and we do deny him, even today at times. And Father, we pray that we would go forth and hear our own denials when we deny you and weep and be sorrowful and grieve over our sin and praise you at the same time for the grace found and the mercy found in Christ alone. Father, we do ask that you would help us to love our neighbor, to serve our neighbor, and even to lay down our life for our neighbor. That you would be glorified, that we would be seen as your disciples, and that you would help us even to worship you now. Father, we pray for Ron and Karen as they travel to Kansas City in the coming week. We are joyful to see them. I pray that reunion of our fellowship with them would be a wonderful, joyous time for us and for them. We pray that we would be encouraged by them and they would be encouraged by us. And they would have success in what they are searching for in a home. Father, do pray, as we're called to, praying for our government, that you would save those who rule over us and turn them from following after the wicked one in their own selfish ways and pride to rule in accordance with your word and to love you. We pray also that you would use those who are not your elect, who are not going to be your children, that you would use them to spare any judgment upon our nation. that for the few righteous that remain, we pray that you would spare your judgment for now. And pray that your gospel would go forth and that we would be free to worship you in accordance with your word. That we'd be able to live peaceable lives. And that you would give us great and many opportunities to proclaim the gospel. And yet also we do pray, as we've heard before, that if it is your time to judge our nation in this coming years, Father, we pray that we would be strong. That you would solidify our faith. That you would make us to be those who stand firm upon the word. As you say in the scriptures, upon the apostles and the prophets. And that if we need to suffer, that you would cause us to have our eyes fixed on Christ, who suffered everything for us, knowing that we have a hope of the eternal life that awaits us in glory, when there will be no more pain and no more tears, no more struggles, but eternal fellowship and communion with Christ forever. Father, help us in all these things, we pray, and that you would hear us, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.